Before we move on to another question, anybody have another answer on that? Jan Hall?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I don't believe that, I mean, I agree with what needs to be done with the golf course, but I don't believe by once the golf course has solved its financial problems that that ends the county's problems with the EDA. That is not where we're at with that. I do believe that there is a question of accountability with the EDA. I would like to see the EDA improve their management and budgetary issues, work within their levy, become more effective in their leadership. Their levy is a special tax assessment. This is paid by all Cook County taxpayers. Who benefits from their projects? Some special interest folks? I don't know. That's what I hear from other people. Adding an independent consultant cost to the EDA's levy will go directly to all taxpayers in an increase of your special tax assessment. That has been mentioned as one thing we could do as a county board.
We have a caller on the line. Could we go to that call first?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is Harry Swift. I have two questions. Can I proceed?
Yes, go ahead.
The first one I would address to Mr. Spick is we hear about redesign of state government, of the court system, and so on. My question is specifically, I hear about redesign for the Human Service Division throughout the state, Human Service Department. My question is, what would that look like here, and what effect would it have on the people in Cook County?
Well, first of all, Mr. Swift, I'll be honest with you. I do not know the facts of what the state is asking our social service department up there. So I believe in the future, if I do get elected, I will find out the facts both ways, and I would be able to give you an answer then, sir. But at this present time, I don't know what they're asking for and stuff, so it makes it impossible for me to give you a correct answer on that question.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a part two there?
Anybody else on that question?
Sue Hakes.
I'd like to weigh in on that. That, you know, the redesign effort that is going on right now in the state of Minnesota has huge consequences for Cook County. And, you know, on paper it sounds really good. I've talked actually with Sue Futterer and some other department heads, and I've listened to the county board talk about the redesign. In fact, there was a meeting on it in Duluth this afternoon. And the purpose of it is really to streamline government services and deliver services in a more effective, cost-effective, and effective way. And as I mentioned, it sounds really good on paper, but what we need to do is look at how that is going to affect Cook County. We have a huge geographical challenge here. What works in the metro area and what might work in a more populated area may or may not work with us. And so we really have to understand the cost and the impact to services that we address there, mostly because of the geography. I think Harry alluded to the fact that Public Health and Human Services is undergoing some of that right now, and that is my understanding. When I've attended the meetings and listened, it sounds like they're first, and so they are coordinating all of those efforts. But it isn't just limited to Health and Human Services. There's also law enforcement, planning and zoning, court services, child support that are affected by this. And when I door knock and when I talk to people, they often ask me, why do county commissioners go to all these meetings out of town? And it's because we need a seat at the table. We need a seat at the table where these decisions are made so that we can make sure that Cook County is very well represented when these decisions are made that impact us. And redesign is a really big one that's happening right now.
Jan Hall, I think you were next, and then Bruce Martinson.
I am. I have investigated the redesign, and I agree with what she just had said. They are talking about bundling services, and that is taking Duluth and having Lake County, Cook County, and the closest counties all get services from one area, one main frame is what it's kind of is. And it is a very difficult for us, like Sue alluded to, for the costs of being so far before we get to where we need to be. So it's quite involved, and the directors were talking about not having to even have directors, just have them all you know, bundle into the one Duluth service.
Bruce Martinson?
Sure. And Sue, you made a comment about the need to be, you know, at the table. You're 100% in the right. I've heard the comment a few times, you have to be at the table. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. Now, dealing with the redesign, what they're looking at, one element right now is e-document processing, working with St. Louis, you know, County, who would contract with a server to increase the efficiency of processing documents. I was really surprised, they don't have automatic fill-in of the data. They have several forms that retype the name, address. Now, this new system, they do it once and it'll automatically fill in on the other, you know, forms. That would be a big increase in efficiency. Another thing they're looking at is creating different, districts throughout the, you know, state, maybe four or five counties, you know, together, served by one main, you know, director. But that's not short term. That's more longer term.
Hey, and I think Harry's still on the line.
Yeah, go ahead, Harry.
Two.
You got part two?
My other question, a different question. I hear that candidates for governors, the governorship of Minnesota, promising this and that. One is they want to cut human service expenses by a certain percentage, like a double-digit cut in human service budget. If that should come to pass, first part, what effect would it have here? Second part, would it cost or save the county any money?
Thanks for those questions.
Thank you, Harry. Anybody want to tackle that one?
May I'll start.
Okay, Bruce Martinson.
We really have to be worried about this because what I've been hearing, cutting, what they allocate to the counties, but still mandating the services still be provided. So I think that the user of the services won't be affected. It'd be the counties who might possibly be forced to increase the levy to pay for mandated services. That should be a priority in dealing with our legislators to make sure that they fund the mandated services, because most of them are mandated.
Mm-hmm. We have a listener question that came in, changing the subject a little bit here. What is the balance, in your opinion, between development and protecting the character of our natural surroundings? We touched a little bit on that at the beginning. What's the right balance between development and protecting the character of our natural surroundings? Go ahead, Diane. Parker.
Yes, I brought that up, I think, first in one of the first questions or statements. I think what we need to do, I know that in Lutzen Township, back in 2008-2009, there was a rezoning issue on the Lutzen Mountain ski area, where there were some developers who wanted to rezone the area up there to allow for 55-foot tall buildings, and ultimately to build out 17 of these buildings. Well, that would be, in my opinion, that's what I term overdevelopment, and for this reason. There were concerns by the Minnesota Department of Health and also the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency of groundwater pollution from private septic systems, too many of them apparently, already up there on that mountaintop. And also there were concerns about the fragility of the aquifer and too many private wells being drilled into that aquifer. As a matter of fact, there is a shortage of water up on that hill now. And you may remember three buildings burned down there. We were assured that there would be enough water to put out any fire that happened up there. But the truth is, to get water out of that snowmaking equipment that this businesses allow us to use when there is a fire, takes, according to our fire chief, takes anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. A lot of damage is done during that time. And so we usually have to call in several different fire departments for mutual aid to put out these fires. This is an environmental concern and a human health and safety concern.
Okay. Anyone else want to weigh in on that? Bill Hennessy.
Well, I would just mention that zoning is one of the tools that we use to make this balance, and I'm not proposing any changes in it at this time, but it's an important tool. The other thing is that that's one of the reasons I say that high-speed internet in the county is so important, because here is a way that you're going to have some economic development without just damaging the environment. I mean, it's pretty environmentally friendly and can be all over. So that's why I propose that.
Okay. Lloyd Speck, you've been involved with planning, zoning, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line on it all. I guess you just got to go according to our zoning rules and regulations that's in our subdivision ordinances, and there is things there that have got to be corrected now too a little bit, but I won't get into them. But it's like anything else, you get too much of anything, and it seems then it starts taking its toll on stuff, and whether it's high buildings or, I mean, like along Highway 61, for example, you're allowed to put up a building, you know, on a two-acre site. Well, myself personally, I don't believe that's enough land because of the type of, enough land to do that because of the type of the soil we got. It's all ledge rock, and when you start putting in sewer systems and wells and stuff, that things got a tendency to run off a lot quicker and fast, and the person on the bottom of the hill ends up getting hurt all the time account of it. But I know people also that quit coming to Cook County because of the overdevelopment also. But, I mean, the county commissioners really don't have a lot to do with that. It's just like every other community that once was real pristine and nice. Eventually, development will take over a lot of it and make things a lot different.
Sue Higgs.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. You know, I think the key word that we've been hearing today is balance. I attended a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and I had the good fortune to speak with Becky Laurie, who spent 16 years in the state legislature and actually was a gubernatorial candidate a few years ago, and we talked about this exact issue. And one of the things that came out of it for me is we need balance between development and the environment. Certainly, I think it goes without saying that everybody who visits here and everybody who lives here considers our natural resources and our clean air and clean water to be of a top priority. And we can control that through things like zoning. But one thing that I don't hear talked about a lot is that when we support education and we support job growth, and we have a healthy economy, it's the best way to protect our environment. Poverty and people that don't have the skills to study the issues, people that, you know, poverty and lack of education is probably the worst thing we can do for our environment. And so we need to stay on top of this stuff. We need to have a healthy balance. Again, I go back to supporting our small businesses, keeping our charm, keeping it in perspective, and I think that's the best way we can protect our environment.
Bruce Martinson.
Sure. We do need to find balance. Now, all of us probably set a different point where that balance occurs. You know, dealing with the Lutzen Mountain area, was considered more of a water shortage a couple of years back when they actually had to haul water from Grand Marais to Caribou Highlands. But that's no longer, you know, being done. Lutzen Mountains owns a lot of, you know, land. They haven't even, you know, looked at, you know, drilling wells, quite a bit of the parcels, 40-acre parcels on the west side of the, you know, river. But I don't think they should be, you know, built out to maximum capacity. I think the county board, quite sure, did not, you know, put that in the ordinance about 55-foot building height that was proposed. We thought that was too high. And myself, you know, I have supported AUAR for, you know, two areas in the county, Caribou Lake and the Poplar River watershed. You know, supported the septic inspection programs and on quite a few lakes in Cook County, which I believe has been successful.
I want to remind you that this is North Shore Community Radio, broadcasting at 90.7 FM WTIP Grand Marais, 90.1 FM WGPO Grand Portage and 91.7 FM W219 CU, the Gunflint Trail. You're listening to a special candidate forum broadcast. Tonight we're talking with candidates for Cook County Commissioner, Bruce Martinson and Diane Parker in District 5, Lloyd Speck and Sue Hakes in District 3, and Jan Hall and Bill Hennessy in District 1. And we invite you to call in with your questions and comments. The number to call is 387-1070 or 800-473-9847. Our email address is wtip@boreal.org. We plan to be here until 7:30, so you still have plenty of time to call.
We've had a few listener questions come in. One of them is kind of talking about some concerns about the economy. As a younger adult in the community, somewhere in the 20s to 30s range, this person is concerned about how we keep young, enthusiastic, educated, and hardworking people who will produce families from leaving the area in pursuit of better employment or school systems for their children. They're concerned about long-term future of the industries in our community, and they want to know what your reaction to those concerns are. How do we keep young people in the community given the economic challenges here?
You want to tackle that one first? Bill Hennessy.
Well, I'll take a stab at it. First of all, the broadband initiative, I think, is important to keeping people here and providing local employment that's not environmentally unfriendly. The other thing is the biomass or the general heating, district heating proposal could generate local jobs and maybe a local industry that would serve the county. Other than that, it's very difficult to bring heavy industry into this county and be cost-effective. We're more or less at the end of the road, and it's just environmentally, transportation-wise, it just doesn't pay for industry to come up here. So we have the sawmill, and that's doing fairly well, I guess, and hopefully they'll be able to continue in the future, but I don't see any heavy industry moving up here.
We can get back to this question, but we do have a caller on the line.
You're on the air.
Hey, good evening. I want to stay on this subject, and I want to hear a little bit of what the commissioner's visions are for types of new businesses, not businesses that are currently in the county, but new businesses that they would envision as compatible to our character and providing us a living wage that would enter into the county, let's say, over the next 10 years.
Great, thanks.
Jan Hall, you had your hand up.
I just wanted to, I can't really speak to how you would have a better income with this slowdown of the economy. You know, I mean, that's being imposed on us from every angle. But we have been working in the county, and this might not be the answer you want, but if you look at... we can't get a lot of business up here, as Bill has said. It's more of an environmental impact up here. But there are meaningful visions for destinations. And being that we are an environmental unique county, that if we create more destinations for people to come to the county, it will create funds for us to continue developing our schools and others. But like I would just use for an example, Chickwack. Now there wasn't a lot destinations up the Gunflint other than camping, canoeing, which is a lot of things, you know. But now there is a destination, and that's what people travel for, to see those things. Mm-hmm. So that probably doesn't answer your question, but I know that we're working on that.
Okay. Bruce?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Jay. I think, you know, Jan is right. She's really talking about enhancing, you know, what we have for, you know, tourism, you know, the opportunity for people to come up. Maybe we need to spread the word more about our natural, you know, environment. Dealing with jobs, we've never been able to attract, you know, a manufacturing industry. You know, shipping costs are very high, you know, up here in Cook County. And I think, you know, Bill has hit right on it, along with a few others here, that broadband, probably the best approach for us to go, support that, encourage companies that want to have the workers enjoy our natural environment and have a place to you know, work with a, you know, play. Now, dealing with, you know, broadband, I don't really see that much at all of 1% money going to it. Arrowhead Electric already has an $11.3 million grant, $4.8 million loan. There is one way I can see helping them, and I hope Arrowhead Electric Board sees it and, you know, makes a request to the county, and that is that they should request that the 1% money be used to pay the connection fee for broadband users, for, you know, residences, which I heard, you know, half a year ago from Don Stead could be $300 a month, and also the connection fee for larger, you know, government entities, the hospital, which I think is $2,500. Now, the total of all those, I think, is approximately $1 million. That is one way we can help people and virtually everyone in the county which receive a benefit.
Sue Hicks?
Thank you, Jay. I don't think that there's a magic solution to this as far as attracting an industry. For example, we're not going to get the sock factory that employs 75 people. But I do think there are ways that we can entice or attract several different types of small businesses. And this is what I'd like to see the EDA work on. I'd like to see them refocus. And I would like to see the county board make economic development in this way a priority. Broadband has been mentioned several times. I think the world is open to people that can do jobs online or work remotely from a job in another location right here in Cook County. I think to attract small businesses like perhaps an eye doctor where they employ one or two people and make our area conducive to somebody that would want to work here. I think Jan Hall touched on making this a destination. When we think about the community center and we talk about an events pavilion at the rec park, which is part of that master plan that we did, how can we enhance the businesses that exist here and how can we draw new businesses to our community? We're never going to find a business that's going to bring 50 or 100 people here, or it's unlikely, but slowly but surely we can bring multiple diverse small businesses, and quite frankly, I think it's more important, I think Diane Parker mentioned this, to have a diversity of 25 or 30 small businesses as opposed to one business that we're solely reliant on. So I think there are ways to do that.
So Diane, let's go to you, and then Lloyd, let's go to you.
Yes, this is something I feel really passionate about, and I agree with a lot of these comments. I agree that broadband would help out enormously. However, one of the people I visited while I was out knocking on doors mentioned that, and I think this is really exciting, he, if he could afford it, he would like to start a microbrewery right here in Cook County. Think of that. I said, well, how many would you employ people there? And he said, yeah, 10 good people I could use to help me. We could. There wouldn't be a lot of shipping charges. This is a product that would be served in our local restaurants and bars. This is a year-round position for anyone who would work at this brewery, and it would fit in with our tourism-based economy very nicely. And there are other small, diverse businesses that would not require expensive shipping of products for long distances. I think what we need to do is focus on getting many small businesses who employ 10 people each, maybe 15 people each, that would, if we get into another economic downturn, will minimize the bad effects on our economy.
Lloyd, what do you think about business development in Cook County, and what could the county board do?
Well, I think every county in the state of Minnesota is looking for that solution. But I know Duluth is. They're still complaining about their high unemployment rate and stuff. And we are at the end of the food chain up here. So I think that's a real difficult question. I think the private sector has got to take more of a interest in this than what a county commissioner could actually do, to be truthful with you. And I know most people I talk to, they're a little upset the way electric rates keep going up, and I believe solar energy is really the thing of the future. And if you could get something like a solar energy factory or business up here or something, that I think it would benefit the community a real lot. And we got to understand, we are basically a tourist industry up here and a retirement community. So I personally believe people have got to put their own ingenuity and gear and try to think of some ways to make money off the tourist and go from there. It's a real difficult one, but there is, like Sue said, there's no magic solution for this. I know in my lifetime when I worked 80, 90 hours a week to survive. And I guess if people really want something bad enough and hard, I know there's still lots of ads in the papers for work, and I know Grand Portage up there, they're always looking for workers too. But I think in this county, a lot of people got to understand, you're not going to make it on 40 hours a week, and you're going to have to hustle a little harder. That one word, W-O-R-K.
We've been talking a lot about development and business and money issues. Let's shift gears for a moment here while we have about 20 minutes left. We received a question earlier from a listener today, and it is, do you believe racism exists in Cook County? And if you do, what's it look like? That is, how is it manifested? Do we have racism in Cook County? Bill Hennessy.
Well, let me take a shot at that. I'm a little older than everybody else here, I guess, or anybody else here. And I grew up, and I would have to say that the older generation, that is the generation before mine, was more prejudiced than I am, and this younger generation is less prejudiced. So I'm very positive about the future. I think that education and knowledge that's gone around has made things so much better. But I myself have been prejudiced in the past, and I've worked hard trying to understand why I'm prejudiced and so forth, and I think I've made tremendous strides in that regard. So I wouldn't claim that I'm totally prejudice-free, but I would hope that if I'm not now, maybe I will be in the very near future.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk about prejudice? Okay. Sue Higgs.
Yes, I see racism in Cook County. I don't think we're any different than any other area, and it's sad but true, but racism does exist in Cook County. The caller asked, what does it look like? And I see racism in different forms. It's, you know, it's jokes. It's bullying at school. It's discrimination. And I think racism exists within our institutions. I feel really lucky to have taken the Undoing Racism workshop a few years ago. It was awesome. It was very intense. It was a three-day workshop, and we learned a lot of. We got a little toolkit and to take with us in the real world and to figure out ways to undo racism. And when somebody says a bad joke, you can say, I don't want to listen to that. When somebody, it's more subtle, you can think about it and talk to your friends and talk to your other elected officials and people in your life about that. They call those teaching moments. But the thing that I really took away from there is that each of us is a gatekeeper in our life. Whether we're a teacher or a real estate agent or an elected official or a neighbor, we all have control over access to something. And it's super important that we all open up those gates and make sure that everybody, regardless of their race, sexual orientation, familial status, age, whether they're man or woman, has equal access to all of the services and resources that the next person has. And as an elected official and as a county board, we are gatekeepers, and I think it's important that we open that gate and make sure it's open for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Martin.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, I'd be ignorant to say that racism does not exist. It just maybe not as open, you know, elsewhere. I was EEO coordinator at a bank one time for 3 years, way back in the 1980s. But I had an interesting story. This does occur 10 years back in Cook County, but I had a guest that went to fireworks here in Cook County, and the following day, someone approached me. They talked to the people, and they were told they were from, you know, Superior Ridge. The person who was talking to me told me that, you know, it's for locals, you know, only. People of a different race, locals only. But then I explained to them, well, they're not workers, you know, they thought, you know, guests. So it did appear there.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Any comments on racism? Go ahead, Lloyd. Lloyd's
well,
back.
Myself personally, like I said, I was born and raised here my entire life. And I don't want to sound hypocritical or anything, but I can truthfully say I have not seen this racism that people are talking about and let's undo racism. And I guess the people that are being discriminated against, or they feel they're being that they feel that people are racist to them, they should step forward then. And I'd like to know these people that really claim that they're being racism against. I hate to see organizations or projects start up unless there's evidence and facts to base this racism on. I guess I don't like to just follow the crowd and say, hey, this guy's racist and this guy. Show me the facts. Show me the people that claim they're being racism about. And that's what I'd like to see. I guess I like to see facts first and who's claiming that people are racism to them and different things. And that's what I say. Because I was born and raised here, and I got to truthfully say, I've never seen it in this county myself personally. I mean, naturally, when you're a kid, you're going to have a little bullying and you're going to have some grief with each other, but it goes both ways. And I'd like to hear what Jan Hall has got to say about it. She's been here 39 years.
Putting you on the spot, Jan.
Yep, he put me on the spot. Well, I also attended the racism workshop, and it's really very difficult to pinpoint where there is racism. But I would encourage everyone, such as Lloyd, who says he's not seen it, to take that class, because it digs deep into what you have been taught and how you perceive it. And I do believe there is bullying, and I've been working with that, and I intend to continue working with that. And so it's there, but it's under the surface, and we do have groups that get together that racism, we meet, well, we haven't met for a while, but we are still meeting. So if anyone would like to contact me, I can give them that information.
And a related question that came in earlier in the day, and it touches on this, maybe the institutionalization approach here, but would you support an anti-discrimination policy for county offices that would include protection for gender and sexual orientation? Go ahead, Bill Hennessy.
Well, I would. I think we already have one at the county. Mm-hmm. So yes. I'm pretty sure we do have one at mm-hmm. the county. So, yes, we got one, and I'm mm-hmm. glad we do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is county policy. Okay, yes. Fine. And another question about that came in yesterday, emailed to us. In a way, it talks about, I think, what, Jan, you were talking about, something that's hidden. Well, this is pretty hidden. October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this listener says the local violence prevention center handles an average of 90 new cases of domestic assault and sexual abuse in the county each year. As a county commissioner, what measures, if any, would you propose to help reduce or eliminate domestic violence in our community? What could you, as a county commissioner, do to help with the violence? Go ahead, Sue Hakes.
Perfect timing on that question, as October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and the Violence Prevention Center generally has a lot of events during the month, so I'd encourage people to go out and check them out because they're really meaningful. I think the answer to domestic and sexual violence in our county is that we have zero tolerance for it. There's just no room for it. As a county board, I think there are ways that we can encourage that zero tolerance policy by ensuring that the county attorney, that the Cook County Sheriff's Department pursue and prosecute perpetrators mm-hmm. of domestic violence and sexual assault. Personally, I have been on the board at the Violence Prevention Center. I was on the board of directors there, and I was also an on-call advocate for a couple of years. And so I have tried to do my part on a personal level. And then back to the county, I know that the county, in its discretionary funding, spends about $7,600 a year supporting the Violence Prevention Center. And to me, it's the best deal in town. The people who work there support victims at all phases of domestic and sexual abuse. They do things that our deputies and sheriffs can't do and would cost us a lot of money if we had them do it. There is a suite of volunteers in that organization who go through extensive training and really do a lot of work. We get a lot of value for that $7,600. I would always support funding the Violence Prevention Center in Cook County. Thank you.
Is domestic violence unique in this county? Is anybody have any kind of an idea as to whether this is a problem that exists throughout the state? Go ahead, Bill Hennessy.
Well, I can speak from my experience as a county attorney. You know, we talk to other county attorneys. We have a county attorney association. I'm exposed to a certain number of statistics and so forth, and I would say that Cook County is one of the best counties in the state in terms of dealing with domestic violence. We have a very active center here. The Sheriff's Department is very proactive. The County Attorney's Office is very proactive. We're all very aware of the situation. It does exist here, of course. It exists everywhere, but we're doing very well in Cook County.
Okay. A question came in from a listener just at the beginning of the program, and this is about Grand Portage. And the listener says Grand Portage is a unique entity within Cook County, and how do you anticipate interacting with the Grand Portage Band? Now, let's say right up front that there is a joint city-county school district and band group that meets once a month, but beyond that, Grand Portage is a unique part of Cook County. How do you deal with Grand Portage as a county commissioner with a band that is really an independent entity?
I can speak a little bit to that, Jay.
Okay, go right ahead, Jan Hall.
Well, they are very unique, and I know when I talked about the dreams up there, the visions and the spirits that are there. As a county board, I sit on several of the committees up there and work with some of their task force. And I believe that's real important for the county and the city to stay really connected. We have our joint meeting, which is always talked about as a very, you know, not a lot of counties do that with their reservations. And I think we have a very good relationship. And we're also working with the gateways to national to the national teams for the heart of the continent. And that is working directly with the tribe leaders and supporting the building of destinations and also invasive species and several other things that impacts our side and the Canadian side, and other national borders. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a lot of work being done. If there's anything that they don't feel is being done or this person, please contact any of us. I think we're always willing to look at new ways.
We had a couple of minutes left here, about 5 minutes left, and a couple of things maybe we could touch on. I know that the county board has talked about the possibility of bringing on a county administrator, and there's some question about how that would be paid for. And since we're talking about money again, we have a question from a listener that came in about 20 minutes ago, and that is, since we're going to talk about county administrator, what about remuneration for county commissioners? Should it go up? Should it stay the same? If there's a county administrator, how would that affect a commissioner's income? Diane Parker.
I've thought about this a lot. Excuse me, a lot. And I really am not in favor of hiring a county administrator. We are, in population, a small county, and other small counties in the state use a form of government that is the auditor acting as county administrator. I favor this, if we go at all, to a different form of governance. because we already have an auditor who is doing much of the work that a county administrator does. And to promote somebody on staff to help with the administrative side, dealing with personnel and department heads, would be my preference. That way we wouldn't be bringing in someone from outside the county in probability and paying maybe a $100,000 a year position.
Another part of that question that was asked by the person that emailed in, county commissioners' salaries, about right? Too much? Should it be cut?
Well, I feel that if we go the route of a county hiring a county administrator, that we need to make cuts somewhere. And I think that it would be only fair to then cut the salaries or the remuneration that the county commissioners are getting.
Jan Hall?
Well, of course, I don't believe that we should cut the commissioners. Not just because of the getting a county administrator. I don't believe that the county's budgetary constraints right now could support that. It just doesn't warrant having a administrator. The commissioners have at least 17 commissions that they are commissioned to do. Aside from that, they have 8 to 10 temporary boards that they sit on to address the issues as they come forward. Plus, there's 4 days a week. If we cut the salary, we're going to cut the attendance to these meetings, and that would be a real problem for being on top of state and federal issues.
I'd like to go on with this, but we have a couple of callers, and we want to try to get those in before we have to leave.
Hello, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I would like to see a commissioner put an end to the never-ending pot of tax dollars. They're one commissioner candidate. They're willing to try to do that.
Thanks for that call.
Putting an end to the tax dollars. How would you got any specific ideas on that?
Well, Bill Hennessy, I guess I didn't quite understand the question. put an end to the never-ending tax dollars. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. But I would say that I'm opposed to increasing commissioner salaries. So, and I think Jan Hall has made a motion in the past to increase commissioner salaries. So, I would not agree with that. So that'd be one difference of opinion there. I'm not sure if that's what the caller is getting to or not.
Did I address that?
Yes, sure. Go right ahead, Jan Hall.
Yeah, I asked for an increase in the food and mileage that we were being paid. I did ask for an increase in our costs, but with the way the economy is, that was 2 or 3 years ago when that was brought forward. And with the economy, I believe we would have to look at cutting some of our travel. That's what we have the new IT for. So we are working on budgeting the commissioners. So,
was there another caller?
There's not another caller. There's another question that came in via email. What are the candidates' ideas regarding protecting biodiversity, specifically including critical animal habitat, in the face of increasing development?
Okay. Anyone want to tackle that one first? Critical habitat. Go ahead. Bruce.
You want me? Sure.
Bruce Martinson.
No, the county board did deal with this issue about 3 years ago, dealing with lynx critical habitat. The Fish and Wildlife Service proposed making virtually all of Cook County critical habitat for lynx. The county board came on record of opposing this, fearing that it's going to stop virtually all development.
Anyone else want to weigh on that before we leave? Okay. That'll have to do it then for tonight. You've been listening to Cook County Commissioner Candidates Forum. Bruce Martinson and Diane Parker in District 5, Lloyd Speck and Sue Hakes in District 3, Jan Hall and Bill Hennessy in District 1. I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. Thanks to all of you who called in or emailed in both tonight and during the week. With Barbara Jean Johnson, I'm Jay Anderson. Good evening.